It was sunny today where I am, but it's been awfully cold and gloomy recently. No surprise, then, that about 5% of people in the U.S. suffer from seasonal affective disorder, a form of depression brought on by the dark days of winter. Joining us now is Kelly Rowan, who's a professor of psychology at the University of Vermont, who researches seasonal affective disorder. Kelly, welcome.
Thank you.
And what is seasonal affective disorder, and how is it different from depression?
Seasonal affective disorder, or SAD, is actually a type of depression. The only thing that makes it different is the seasonal pattern that it follows, where the symptoms are in effect during the fall and the winter months, and they fully resolve or go away during the spring or the summer months. So when we're diagnosing SAD, we are in fact diagnosing depression, and we're looking for exactly the same symptoms that we see in depression, like feeling fatigued, sleep changes, appetite and weight changes, loss of interest in activities, difficulty concentrating, sometimes thoughts of death or suicide.
Is it about the light? Is it about the cold? Is it a combination?
It's about the light. The research is pretty clear that it's about day length or photo period. Simply the number of hours from dawn to dusk is the strongest predictor of when the symptoms begin in any given year and how bad they are on any particular day in someone that suffers from seasonal affective disorder.
Are there people who are especially susceptible?
Women are particularly susceptible, much more so than men. At least two times the number of women as men suffer from seasonal affective disorder. It also looks like younger adults are more susceptible, people in their 20s or their 30s. People who live at a high latitude are particularly susceptible, although it does exist in Florida. It's relatively rare compared to, for example, where I am, Burlington, Vermont.
Why are more women suffering from this than men?
That is a great question. That's the million-dollar question. Everybody reports this gender difference in seasonal depression, but nobody really explains why. In non-seasonal depression, women are more likely than men to ruminate. And this is a repetitive thinking style, focusing on the causes and consequences of your depression. This seems to make women particularly vulnerable to develop depression. Rumination increases risk of depression. It makes depression more severe when it begins. So I suspect that there's something about rumination in terms of potentially explaining the gender difference in winter depression, although that's an empirical question, and I hope somebody does the study to find out.
I imagine there are a lot of people listening to this interview thinking, well, I have that. But is that the case? Do you think that people who think they have seasonal affective disorder actually do, or that they're just a little gloomy at this time of year?
Like many things, seasonality happens on a continuum. So when we're talking about full-blown seasonal affective disorder, we're talking about the extreme of the continuum, people that have clinical depression during certain seasons of the year. And then, especially at a high latitude, there's the rest of us, people who experience some symptoms, maybe some mild energy and sleep changes, appetite changes, craving carbohydrates during the fall and the winter. Just having these symptoms at a mild threshold is not enough to say it's seasonal affective disorder. It has to be clinical depression. It has to interfere with somebody's ability to function in life and cause a lot of impairment and distress. So the bottom line, most of us can relate to this condition. It's on a continuum. Most people at a high latitude experience the symptoms to a certain extent. It's just the question of how bad is it? Is it really interfering with life?
And what kind of treatment is there for it?
Well, there's at least three treatments with a strong research base. There's light therapy, use of a device that projects bright light to the retina first thing in the morning to sort of jumpstart sluggish circadian rhythms and reset the biological clock. There's a lot of research to show that light therapy is highly effective treatment for winter depression. Antidepressant medications, the same ones that are used to treat non-seasonal depression, the SSRIs in particular, such as Prozac. There's a drug called Wellbutrin XR, which is FDA approved for the prevention of winter depression specifically. And then third, other than light therapy and medications, there's a form of talk therapy or psychotherapy called cognitive behavioral therapy that's effective in treating SAD, but also seems to be effective in preventing the return of symptoms after the treatment has ended.
And what is that? What is cognitive behavioral therapy?
Well, this is, in fact, my baby in terms of the research that I've been focusing on for the last 20 years or so. Cognitive behavioral therapy, or CBT, is a tried and true psychotherapy for depression. It's been around since the 1960s. It's highly effective as a treatment for depression. I just happen to be the first researcher who's bothered to try applying it to seasonal affective disorder. So what it involves, if we break up cognitive behavioral, it involves working on thinking styles. In depression, thinking styles are really quite negative. We have people track their thoughts. They actually write down and record their thoughts and how their thoughts impact their mood. And then using a method called the Socratic method, we sort of gently challenge and change some of those negative thoughts to make them a little bit less negative, a little more positive, so that mood can follow suit. Mood can begin to brighten up. And then the behavioral piece of CBT involves getting people to do more activities that are fun and enjoyable. In depression, people tend to shut down. They withdraw. In seasonal affective disorder, I call it going into hibernation mode. They go home from work, get on the couch under a blanket, mindlessly watch television, which is not enjoyable, by the way, for most people who suffer from winter depression, stop answering the phone, stop doing their routines and activities that could produce a sense of relief. So in the behavior therapy side of it, we're trying to get people back in touch with things that are natural antidepressants that could provide a mood boost and help them feel better.
Why is mindlessly watching television not helpful?
Well, in seasonal affective disorder, I see this as part of going into hibernation mode. It's not like you look forward to your favorite show once a week and it really causes this great mood lift in you. It's sort of retreating into this passive hibernation state of withdrawing from people, withdrawing from activities, getting cozy on the couch under a blanket, mindlessly, passively watching television. Is not providing a great sense of enjoyment, in my experience, with people who have this condition.
Does it help if you have seasonal affective disorder to take a trip to somewhere warm and sunny for a few days?
Oh, it most definitely does. My word of caution about doing that has to do with reentry. So people with seasonal affective disorder uniformly say that they feel so much better when they travel to a warm, sunny location. And it's almost immediate. Within a few days of getting there, they feel great. They feel like they do in the summer. However, we have to then go back to wherever you're coming from, farther north, and that reentry can be pretty jarring for the biological clock.
So with all the research that you have done into this, does it seem like this condition has been around for a long time or that it's something new?
This condition has been around for a very long time. We can see it in the writings of ancient philosophers and physicians writing about the effects of light on mood, and even precursor to modern-day light therapy, talking about laying lethargics in the light so that we can cure their disease, which is gloom. The term seasonal affective disorder wasn't coined until 1984 by a psychiatrist by the name of Norman Rosenthal at the National Institute of Mental Health, who moved to Bethesda, Maryland from South Africa. And himself, he felt that he experienced these symptoms of depression when he made this move and put out an ad in the Washington Post, "Does anyone feel depressed in the wintertime?" And apparently the phone rang off the wall for several days, which led him to do the initial research to find out how prevalent this problem is and eventually how to treat it with light therapy.
And the winter in Bethesda is not really even that bad.
It is not, and I know this because I moved to Burlington, Vermont from Bethesda, Maryland in 2005, and I did seasonal affective disorder research when I lived there. It's much easier to do here in Burlington, Vermont.
That's Kelly Rowan, who's a professor at the University of Vermont who researches seasonal affective disorder. Kelly, thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much.
We heard from a few people on Facebook who suffer from seasonal affective disorder. Most of them mentioned using light therapy. Jessica Mead wrote, "I have a broad spectrum light that I don't find very effective. I think the best remedy would be to move closer to the equator."